It was down at the feet of Jesus. Oh, the blessed happy day when my soul found peace in believing, and my sins were all washed away. Let me tell the old story of His grace so full and free. Let my heart was down at the feet of Jesus, where I found such perfect rest. When the light first dawned on my spirit, and my soul was fully
a blessing, isn't it? Whew. Thank you. Let's go to Genesis 12. I hope you appreciate the music. Hope you appreciate the instrumentalist over here. That was beautiful accompaniment by Naomi. Beautiful. And the orchestra. And hope you appreciate the choir. And not every song the choir sings is a 10. Not every message I preach is a 10. Not everything you do is a 10. But overall, we have really good music. And I think Spirit touched music where your heart's squeezed, right? And your foot may not bounce, but if your heart's squeezed, now you know that's the right kind of music. See? So, and I'm from the South. I like a little bluegrass, okay? I'm okay, I'm, you know. So I'm not condemning everything. I'm just saying, Well, I'm just saying, okay. All right. Cameron, you here? Where's Cameron? You here? I like a little bluegrass, Cameron. All right, okay. We'll get you up here one of these days. You and Brother Danny. Amen. All right. If you found Genesis 12, let's stand together. And I'm going to begin reading in verse 6 today. Genesis 12, 6. That we stand in honor of God's word. And Abram passed through the land unto the place of Sychem, under the plain of Morah, and the Canaanite was then in the land. And the Lord appeared unto Abram and said, unto thy seed will I give this land. And there builded he an altar unto the Lord who appeared unto him. And he removed from thence unto a mountain on the east of Bethel and pitched his tent, having Bethel on the west and Hai on the east. And there he builded an altar unto the Lord. Now watch this. And called upon the name of the Lord. So I want to speak this morning on why Abram prayed. Why Abram prayed. Father, help us. We've been looking into this matter of prayer this year. And Lord, we're just getting into it, really. And I'm so thankful for the different testimonies from your people about how it's influenced them and strengthened their prayer life. And Lord, I pray that for people who've not yet, Lord, really engaged and embraced and jumped on board here this morning. What a privilege prayer is. And so help us to learn about it this year, and more than just learn about it for mental or intellectual purposes, for practical purposes, to put into our life to pray. Help me this morning. Fill us all with your spirit, both speaker and listener, because, God, we need you and depend on you. We ask it in Christ's name. Amen. Thank you. And BC, you're aware our theme for the year is simply when you pray. Not if you pray, when you pray. Because prayer is an expected exercise for the child of God. Any parent of a child, any parent with a child who never talks to you, that wouldn't be normal, would it? Wouldn't be right. If a child is a recluse and never spends any time talking to the parent, then there's some kind of issue going on. Something is not quite right with a born-again child of God who has no interest in talking with their Father in heaven. You interested in talking to your Father down here? That's probably true about 98% of the people in here. And for those who profess salvation, it's an expected thing that a child of God would speak to their Father in heaven. So it's not if you pray, it's when you pray. At the beginning of the year, we looked in Genesis chapter 4, don't go there, and we read the verse, then began men to call upon the name of the Lord. Then. There was a reason. There were reasons in chapter 4 why men began to call on the name of the Lord. Remember, call on the name of the Lord is synonymous with prayer. Praying. Okay? And so we looked at Genesis chapter 4. At that time in human history, sin was beginning to bear fruit, and a godly seed was born to Adam and Eve. Now, put the two together. A godly seed, Seth, was born to Adam and Eve, but at the same time, sin was beginning to bear fruit. There were two murders in Genesis chapter 4. So sin comes in chapter 3. In chapter 4, now we got two murders. So sin's beginning to bear fruit because that's what sin always does. It never stays stagnant. It's active. The Bible refers to sin like being a leaven or yeast. So sin is bearing fruit, and Adam and Eve are given this godly seed, and they've got the challenge of rearing a godly seed in a world that was bearing the fruit of sin. Hello? You and I have been given a godly seed, and we live in a world full of the fruits of sin. And people, you and I are not going to rear a godly seed in this world full of sin without prayer. Amen. Not going to happen. I hope you get that down, okay? That it will never, we will never ever do that. Now, I'm going to spend more time there, but we need to move on. We come to chapter 12. I may be wrong, but I believe we find it because I checked with Job too. But I believe in chapter 12 here, we come to the first recorded account in the Bible where a single person called on the name of the Lord. In Genesis chapter 4, then began men, plural, to call upon the name of the Lord. Here, Abram, the Bible says, at the end of verse number 8, called upon the name of the Lord, synonymous with praying. Now, Abram, who would later be called Abraham, was the one here who prayed to the Lord God. So, just like Genesis chapter 4, why did men begin to pray? And now, why did Abram pray? Why was he moved to pray here in Genesis chapter 12? That's what I want to look at this morning. Let me show you, first of all, Abram, I believe, prayed because there was a need for faith. A need for faith. Now look at chapter 12, verse number 1. Now the Lord had said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country, from thy kindred, from thy father's house, unto a land that I will show thee. I'll make of thee a great nation. I will bless thee, and make thy name great. Thou shalt be a blessing, and I will bless them that bless thee, curse him that curseth thee, and in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed. So God told Abram several things in these verses. I will show you a land. I will make a great nation from you. I will bless you. I will make your name great. I will make you a blessing. I will treat others according to how they treat you. And I will bless all families of the earth through you. By the way, Israel is that nation that God made great because of Abraham, out of Abraham. God gave Abram seven I wills. Seven of them. Concerning different ways he would bless Abram. But now don't miss this, because this is the crux of point number one. All of those blessings were contingent on Abram obeying God's command to leave his country, his kinfolk, and his father's house. What God called Abram to do was to live by faith. Live by faith. Now, why do I say that? Abram had no evidence of all those blessings other than God had said. And when you act with no evidence, when you just act according to what God says, when God's word is enough for you to act on, and you do, that's faith. When God's word is enough. Hebrews chapter 11, don't turn there. Verse number 1, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Now, folks, that's clear as can be. Someone may ask, Pastor, ask you, what is faith? Listen to God's response in Hebrews 11. Faith is. Faith is obeying God. Okay, take Abram. Faith is Abraham obeying God because he believed in something concrete and real that he had not seen any evidence of with his natural eyes. He had not seen the land. He was not a great nation. He did not have a great name. The families of all the earth were not blessed through him, but he believed all those things would happen, and he believed with no tangible evidence. The only reason he believed them was because God said. Now, if you and I are going to live the blessed life of God's redeemed people, we're going to be called on to live by faith. And prayer is helpful when we need to live by faith, because living by faith is not pleasing to our flesh. Our flesh wants to see evidence. Our flesh wants, before we step out in faith, obeying God, we want to see or hold the evidence of it. See it with our eyes, hold it in our hands. But that's not faith, folks. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. If our flesh wants evidence, but when we go to prayer, we find power for the Spirit of God to conquer our flesh. Now stop and think about what Abram did here. God speaks, Abram. Yes, Lord. I want you to leave your country and move to another one. I'm going to do some great things for you and some great things through you. Okay, Lord, where am I going? I'll show you when you get there. What direction do I start? Get Sarai, your wife, and your household together, and when you start out, I will lead you. Now, what's Abraham think? If you were Abram, what would you be thinking? And truth of the matter is, folks, we don't know what Abraham thought. But what we know is what Abraham did. Look at verse number 4. So Abram departed as the Lord had spoken unto him. What's he leaving with? God's word. He's walking out of his home, his father's house, his country, based on God's word. There's no tangible evidence. He can't touch it. He can't see it with his eyes. But he's stepping out on faith. Look, Abram departed, and he started out this journey of faith. And as he did so, I believe he was moved to call on the Lord for strength and grace to obey. He needed faith to obey what God had told him. And that meant he needed to pray. And I want to say, folks, we're called to live by faith, just like Abram. And we'll tell you what it's going to take to do it. The same thing Abram did. It's going to take you and me praying. Because our flesh doesn't want to live by faith any more than Abram's did. Prayer helps conquer this. I'm talking to people in this room who need to pray for strength and power to obey God, because your flesh resists some of the things that God tells you to do. Your flesh is resisting the obedience it requires to live by faith in God's word. God's word is enough. There are some of you who live in fear of getting baptized. There are some of you who live in fear of witnessing for Jesus. There are some of you who live in fear of tithing to your church. There are some of you who live in fear of separating from the world to live a holy, consecrated life. You know what helps conquer that fear? Prayer does. Maybe you're living in rebellion. I don't know. Maybe you're just living in apathy. I don't really care what God says. That's a sad state to be in. What conquers all those fleshly resistances is going to God in prayer. Prayer helps to conquer the fear. Prayer will conquer the rebellion. Prayer will conquer the apathy. Prayer helps to strengthen the spirit and weaken the flesh. And if you don't believe that, the prime example is Jesus Christ. Because he went to the Garden of Gethsemane at the beginning of the time when he would be crucified. He took Peter, James, and John, remember that, to the garden with him? And said, you know, would you ask me, would you pray? And then Jesus began to pray. And he said to them, my soul is exceeding sorrowful even unto death. Tarry here and watch with me. You pray for me, okay? And so then he went a little further and he prayed. Now listen to this. He returned unto those three that were sleeping. Peter, James, John, found them asleep. Now listen to what Jesus said. This is Jesus Christ. Watch and pray ye that ye enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing. But that old enemy, the flesh, is weak. The flesh, the old nature in mankind, the old nature. Fellas, I know you're willing to pray, but look, you're asleep. You know why that is? The spirit's willing, but the flesh is weak. Because the flesh is all, I'm talking about our old sin nature. It is always weak. It is resistant to doing the things that God has called on us to do. Well, why do we do them, even if we don't feel like doing them? We do them because that's faith. You live in obedience to God's word regardless of how you feel. Prayer will help you and me obey God and live by faith in his word. The disciples asked Jesus, increase our faith. Amen. And people, faith is increased when we pray. Abram stepped out in faith and he followed God based on God's word only. You say, okay, Pastor, but then in verse number, he didn't pray till down to verse number 8. That's when he prayed. I know, because that was just one step of faith. And the Bible doesn't say the just shall live by one step of faith. The Bible says the just shall live by faith. In other words, folks, if you're born again, saved, you know how you're going to live for God the rest of your life? You're going to live by faith, believing that God's word is enough. If God said it, that settles it. I may not understand it completely. I may not feel like it, but I'm just going to step out and obey God based on what he said. That's faith. Faith is not some weird, gooey feeling. Ooh. It's not some work-me-up gymnastics. I think I can. I believe I can. I know I can. Faith. No. Faith is Abram Sarai, get your stuff. Where are we going? I'm not sure. Well, how long are we going to travel? I don't know. Well, are we going to, we're going to leave. Well, where are we going? I don't know. Well, why are we leaving? God said. I mean, that's all. God said. Amen. That's all. Yeah, honey, that's it. Abram, are you okay? You feeling all right? Let me see if you've got a fever. No, honey, get your stuff. We're leaving. Why are we leaving? God said. People, whenever what God says is enough and we act on it, that's faith. That's faith. The flesh, if you want to live the abundant life that Jesus came to give you, because look, the first step of faith is salvation. And some of you may not have taken that step yet. That's the first step of faith. The first step is believing what God said. This is how your sins are forgiven, okay? Because you're a sinner. That's settled. Every person's a sinner. So everybody's a sinner, and the wages of sin is death, separation from God forever in the place called hell or the lake of fire. So that's all settled because it's written in God's word. And because I'm a sinner, I'm going to go there, but I don't have to because Jesus Christ went to the cross, died, was buried, rose again like they sang in the choir this morning. And God said that Christ's work, the death, burial, and resurrection is sufficient for your salvation. And so that first step of faith is saying, okay, I believe that. I believe that. I know I'm a sinner. You don't have to convince me of that. I understand what the Bible says about the wages of sin. I believe that Jesus died, was buried, and rose again for me. I don't want to die and go to hell. I'm a guilty sinner before God. And by faith, you act on what God said. So what if I don't have a feeling? Doesn't matter. It's faith. Faith's not feeling. Faith's obedience. Faith will be. You think Abram felt wonderful stepping out by faith? No. This is what faith is. When God said, and then after that, there are steps of faith that must be continued to be. You got to continue to take steps of faith all the way through your Christian life, which means you continue to obey God. Look, folks, tell the common unchurched, unsaved man that you live better on 90% of your income than you do on 100%. He's going to look at you like. Oh, and then tell them, oh, yeah, and I give another percentage to missions. And I live a whole lot better. You say, why do we do that, folks? Because we feel like it? Don't lie to me. Tell me, every time you write your tithe check out, it's a glorious feeling. You can get there, but it's not easy at the beginning. So why do we do that? Because God said.
Amen.
Brother Larry, I don't know if you've read Bill Grady's book, that one we sold here recently, Perilous Times. I was reading it, and here's this message all done. And so I'm reading it last night as we're laying in bed, getting ready to go to sleep, and I'm reading his book. And he went when he was in school over here, he attended a lot of black churches in Gary, Indiana. If you haven't read this, you ought to read it. It's a great story. And so he's over there, and he said the pastor of the church was a gentleman, old black gentleman, and he had snow white hair, an elderly man. He was 4'11", and he wore a long purple robe. And he told them, he came to me, they had the singing and everything, and then he got to preach, and he said, today I'm going to answer the paramount question. The paramount question in life is why? And he started, and he walked across the platform back and forth. Why this? Why that? Why do I? Why do I have to? Why do I need to? Why this? Why that? On and on. Why and why and why and why? How many questions? He walked back and forth, that robe trailing behind him. 4'11". And back and forth. And why and why and why and why? And he finally got done with all his rhetorical questions. And he stopped and leaned forward and said, because he, God, grabbed his Bible and walked out. That was his sermon. And the truth of the matter is, that's as good a sermon as you'll ever hear preached on all the questions and whys of life, folks. I'm going to tell you why. Because He, God. If you don't get that down, you're never going to enjoy your Christian life. You got to get it down. You got to I'm just living my life the best I know, the best I can, by what God says. And I'm failing in a lot of areas, but I'm sure trying to. And I'm going to tell you why we fail. John Rice said, every failure is a prayer failure. Every prayer failure is a prayer failure. And that's what John Rice said. That's not inspired Bible, but it's pretty close to accurate. One reason we don't have the energy, the willingness, the power to live by faith is we don't pray. We try to do it in the power of our flesh. You know what the flesh is doing? No. No. We're not doing that. That's what the flesh is doing. And it takes prayer to overcome that. So Abraham started out on this journey of faith. He did finally get to the place where God said, okay, stop. You're here. But he's still not a great name. He's still not the families of the earth. The other six haven't even happened yet. And so he builds an altar and he goes to prayer because there is a need for faith and child of God. Hear me this morning. There is a need for faith. In my life and your life, if we're going to please Him without faith, it is impossible to please Him. You want to please God? Think for a minute, folks. Should you? He only distributes every breath you breathe. Well, man, he's God. I better get on with this. I better please Him. Well, the way you please God is to live by faith. There's a need in the Christian life to live by faith, not by sight. Sometimes with no physical evidence, you just got to step out based on He, God. Come on now. I bet they got a better response in that church than I'm getting right here, Brother Larry, this morning. Yeah. He, God. There's a need for faith. Number two, there's a second reason. There was a call to sacrifice. There was a call to sacrifice. Look at verse number 1 again in chapter 12. I'm not going to read it again. We just read it. Let me ask you this question. We'll get to the verse. Do you like your home? Do you like your kinfolk? Do you like your immediate family? Now, don't answer out loud. Most people are very comfortable, listen, in their home with their kinfolk, and they love their immediate family. Abram was called to leave all of those for another country, another culture, and another people. And I believe it took prayer for him to do that. He was called to sacrifice. Hear me. Sacrifice is just like faith. It's not pleasing to the flesh. You say, okay, I don't understand how that pertains to me because I don't feel called to leave my home, my culture, my country. I know. But God's people are called to offer Him a daily sacrifice. Romans 12:1. Let's go there, okay? Let's go there. Romans 12:1. Look at it with me. I want you to see it because there's a reason I want you to look at it. And we won't get to it for a couple minutes and we'll be done. Romans chapter 12. I got to go through this quickly. Romans chapter 12. You know the verse, but I want you to see it with your eyes. I want you to see it, okay? I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a what? Living sacrifice. Your bodies. Why does God want my body? Because I live in my body. Are we okay with that? We live in our bodies. So what God's asking for is our life. He's asking that the body is the house of our life. And we're to offer that to Him as a living sacrifice. Now, when you read about sacrifices in the Old Testament, listen, they were killed before they were burned on the altar. They were completely consumed. They were dead sacrifices. But God calls on us to offer a living sacrifice. And I... And you We are that sacrifice. We need to answer the call to be a living sacrifice, and that call comes to all Christians. Now, don't listen. Stick with me here. A living sacrifice includes both death and life. We are to die to ourselves, to die to what we want, to die to how we want to behave, and we're to give ourselves alive to live like God wants us to. That the life of Christ might be lived. The life of Christ cannot be lived through you or through me if you are alive. The life of Christ can only be lived through us if we're dead. Not physically dead, dead to self. And only when we're dead to self, only then can the life of Christ be lived through us. Far too many of God's people just go about life doing what they want to do, living as they want to live. You don't ever think about the fact that you're called to a crucified life. This is not a pastoral call. This is a Christian call. A child of God call. And prayer makes that possible because, once again, our flesh fights against it. I don't want to do what somebody else wants me to do. I want to do what I want to do. And if you don't say that's true, then you're lying. Everybody wants to do what they want to do. But what I want to do doesn't coincide with what God wants me to do, so I got to die so that life of Christ can be lived through me. You will never, ever realize the fruitful Christ-like life without being willing to answer the call to present your body a living sacrifice to God. I want to show you a verse here. Turn back, keep your finger here, Romans 12. Turn back just a couple pages to John 12. Well, it's more than that. Turn back through the book of Acts. Go to John 12, okay? We got time. We're okay. I'm about done, okay? John 12, look at verse 24. I don't have time to develop the entire context. Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit. Okay. I don't have a corn of wheat. Here we go. Look up here. I don't have a corn of wheat, but I have a corn of corn. Okay? I don't have a seed of wheat. Well, I can't even hold it. Here it is. Okay? It's a corn. It's a kernel. If I put that in the ground and it stays like it is it going to grow anything? Come on. No. It's going to sit in the ground. What did he say? Except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. How does this kernel of corn produce this? This kernel of corn has to die. It has to break apart. Are you with me this morning? Okay, this is not a lesson in farming. It breaks apart and a plant begins to grow, and in a few months we got this. This never happens unless this dies. But if it die, look at me. Answer this question. Born again, going to heaven, child of God, sins forgiven. What do you want to show for your life? This? Or this? What do you want to show? Because God's not going to force you. He's not going to drag you, you know, put your arm behind your back and twist until you say, uncle. No, Jesus said, if it die. And we have the context here. He's talking about his death. But the application is you and I are called to sacrifice ourselves, our bodies. A living sacrifice, die to my dreams, die to my wishes, die to my plans, die to what I want to do, how I want to live, and live according to what he says. But if I will die, the crucified life brings forth fruit. And you know what? You know what empowers you and me to do this prayer does? I've used this story too many times, but it so illustrates. You know, I was called to pastor this church April of 1990. Yeah. But I had heard about it the previous year, 1989. And this is nothing against the people who were here because I didn't know anybody. What I heard about the church, I didn't want to come here. A blunt. I didn't want to come here. I didn't want to come east of the Mississippi. I was out in Iowa, west of the Mississippi. You know, here it looks like God made Bourbonnais and stepped on it. West of the Mississippi, you got hills. You got great big deer. And Matt, come on, a great church at Barron Avenue. I don't want to come here. In fact, I told Dave Smith, he'll be here in April. I said, Dave, Brother Dave, I wouldn't go within 1,000 miles of that place. That's what I told him. You better be careful about what you tell God you'll never do. I got so miserable. Ask her. I got so miserable. So miserable. Every time the phone rang, I just yell at them. Who's calling? Who's calling? I got so miserable. And in prayer one day, God said to me, you're not dead. So I got in my car. I drove to the cemetery in Washington. I got out of the car, walked around the cemetery. I said, God, this is a place where dead people come. And I'm here today to die to myself. I'm here to die to what I want, what I feel. I prayed for an hour. I'm here to die. God being my witness, he's listening to everything I'm saying right now. Got in my car, drove to the church, walked up that big old long flight of stairs, and the secretary, Mary Bender, handed me a note, said, call Joe Griffin, Faith Baptist Church, Bourbonnais. Lord, I didn't mean that dead. I look around, and that lady back there was here, just a little girl. You were littler. And Dorothy, Dennis and Cindy, Ray and Kim. It's called dying to self. It's called sacrifice. Pastor, I just can't get there. How much are you praying about it? Amen. You praying about God to help you? Answer the call to sacrifice. And by the way, I gotta quit. You hear what Paul said? I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the what? Of who? Some of you need to get alone. Shut out everything but your thoughts about what God's done for you. And decide if that's enough to present yourself a sacrifice. By the mercies of God, which is your... So if I don't, that's what? Unreasonable. You want to stand before God? Unreasonable life? unreasonable. Based on his mercies, the response of sacrifice ought to just be yes. But I got a flesh. Just no, no, no. You know what's going to get over that? Prayer. God, please help me. I died to myself so I might live for you. God, help me. It's down at the feet of Jesus. That's where it happens. I didn't know he was going to sing that today. It's in prayer. When you pray, ask God to help you have faith to step out on his word. Ask God to help you have the power, the willingness to offer yourself a living sacrifice. That's why Abram prayed. Think about it. Father in heaven, I pray that you'll bless our time in your word this morning. Teach us, help us, Lord. Please, I pray that truth, the scripture, will be received this morning in the hearts of people all over this room. God, help us to answer the need to pray, that because there's a need for faith, and Lord, there's a call to sacrifice. So God, help us, please. Help us in these matters. There are some here who need to take a step of faith to be saved. Some need to take the step of faith to be baptized. Others need to take the step of faith to start giving and coming to church faithfully. And Lord, just on and on it goes. Help us, I pray. Help us to put our bodies on that altar every day, a living sacrifice. Wonder who's here today, heads are bowed and eyes are closed, Brother Angel. Somewhere throughout the course of the message, the Spirit of God really touched my heart today. I see the need for faith. I hear the call to sacrifice. And I need to be more careful to pray in those areas especially. And God spoke to me about it today. Can I see your hand if you're honest this morning before the Lord? Just slip it up. Amen, amen, amen. Thank you. Thank you. If God was honored you by speaking to you, I hope that you'll honor him by replying, responding at the invitation time. I wonder today, there's somebody here saying, Brother Angel, I don't even know if I'm saved. I don't know if I'm going to heaven or hell. And what you said earlier concerns me. I don't really want to go to hell, but I'm not sure I'm saved. If that's you, could I see your hand this morning, wherever you're sitting? I'm not sure I'm saved. Just slip it up. Take it right back down. I'm not going to call you out. I'm not sure I'm born again. Not sure I'm saved. Anybody like that today? You've been here. You've been here that you've been saved, but you haven't been baptized. That's a step of faith. That's obedience to Christ. Take it. We have folks that are here to be baptized this morning. You could join them. Obey God. Others need to join a good church. This is the one you've been coming to. If you think it's the right thing to do, come join. Talk to me or one of these men. Folks, let's just look. God didn't put these accounts in his word just to fill up space. The need for faith and the call to sacrifice require us to pray. So let's get started. Father, bless the invitation. Empower, I pray. Let's stand together, heads are bowed, eyes are closed. The pianist begins a song of invitation this morning. There ought to be a good response based on the hands that went up. Obey the Lord. Obey the Lord. Obey him this morning. Would you do that? That's all I ask, just obey him.